1017 FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. LSUS political science professor Dr. Jeffrey Sado joining us. Dr. Sado, thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
Sure. Hi, guys.
The mayor has issued his state of the city. First of all, just kind of break that down briefly. What did you think about what he said about where we are in Shreveport?
I think it's pretty accurate. We have to keep in mind this is an election year, so there's a little bit of that vibe going on about it. Maybe he should have. Might have been a little more effective if you'd started singing the song "Them Dry Bones," but we'll let that go.
Where would you? You're a political science professor. Where would you attack this mayor with regard to that his report?
If you were an opponent.
All right. Well, certainly. First of all, I'd probably point out that it's great to see crime reduction in Shreveport. But it's a national secular trend. It's happening everywhere. So you could say it's great, but really how much did the mayor's policies have to do with that? It seems like other things outside of that are causing this decline. He spoke about infrastructure and particularly water and sewage. And, of course, we had just almost on cue just days ago this infamous water break that it affected a lot of delivery around the city. It wasn't great. I mean, our campus closed for 2 days as a result of that. And, that just doesn't look good to the typical citizen out there or person interested in relocating here to have things like that happen. So, making progress, but, we've got things like that happening. And of course, the consent decree is still kind of a sword hanging over the head of the city. He says he can get it extended, but we don't know that. It hasn't been done yet. Talking about economic development downtown and G-Unit and all that stuff. This has been going on for a while. He's saying it's finally we're going to get this development going, but it's been a while since the properties were purchased and all this was said it was going to happen. So. Maybe that's something that opponents could criticize.
And I think the mayor might say, well, a lot of that was out of his control when the state, put a crimp on the tax breaks and things like that, that held up the progress for a while.
Yeah, sure. I mean, something else to consider is, if we're looking specifically at, say, like video and TV production and all that, a lot of that is moving not only out of Louisiana, but out of the country to other less expensive spots, Eastern Europe and the like. And so, who knows how much promise that particular venture is going to have.
Let me ask you something about blight, because he's been criticized heavily by John Paul Young, one of his opponents, as not adhering to the law, not doing enough about blight. But he points it out that we've spent a ton of money, much more money than we had in the past, on blight. What story do we believe here?
Well, I think we believe the mayor's. He's the statistics that he pointed out are a massive increase over what had been done in the past, and it's also something very visible. I mean, people, if they're not actually out there volunteering to do it, they can see it. I think that's probably one of his strongest selling points at this point, not only for city progress over the last year, but, of course, the upcoming campaign.
We also have a problem with the budget. The mayor's and his office has just been criticized yesterday, I believe, by the Shreveport Police Officers Association for, yes, you gave us a pay raise, 2% is required by law, then you gave us a 3%, but we wanted 10%. We need more officers. Is that something that's going to hurt the mayor, that he's not bumped up police pay as much as they wanted?
Well, that's one of the more influential special interests out there when it comes to elections. And so, certainly if that's the attitude generally in our public safety forces, well, then that could be a little problematic in that respect for his election. But you know, he's there are these fiscal constraints, and you know, if he's going to use the argument that he inherited them, well, he did. That's true. And you know, just trying to you know, the choice could be, all right, well, we dip more into reserves. In that case, though, we start negatively impacting the bond rating. He talked about how fully expects this upgrade in the bond ratings in the near future, and that's because of the operating reserve that's being kept. So kind of between a rock and a hard place there. But, you know, I think it is a worthy goal to try to keep the bond rating where it is.
One more thing, and I ask a lot of people this. I'm curious about your opinion. We have in the history of the city, as in my many, many years of being here, and most cities do this, they link police and fire pay. You know, if we give police officers a raise, we give the same to firefighters. Is it time we rethink that? Because we don't have the shortage of firefighters like we do with the police department. Is it time to take a look at that? Is that still a good idea?
I always thought it was a good idea not to have them linked, because you want to have maximal flexibility in your policy making in, you know, any government. So, I would like to see that those two things delinked. At the same time, that would be almost politically impossible to do. So, I would be in support of that.
But of course, you know, the firefighters union saying
absolutely
that, wait a minute, that's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any problem in, instead of having one ordinance, let's say, having a raise for both, having two separate ordinances, having raises for both. So, I mean, just because they're not linked doesn't mean that it's going to be unfair. Again, it's ultimately the decision of city policymakers. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Sato, you've got a story on the hayride that we want to ask you about, making our youths even dumber. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Can you hold, and we'll address that when we get back?
Sure.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Dr. Jeffrey Sato on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Dr. Sato, Democrat State Rep Candace Newell is trying to create this program legalizing basically recreational marijuana. You don't think this is a good idea. Explain why.
Yeah, no, actually, she's tried this several times. This is actually the most scaled down version that she's ever proposed. It to actually be a pilot program, which the 10 or 9 recognized authorized sellers of medical marijuana, they could set up a separate operation, do the same recreationally for 3 years. But, you know, this is something, you know, and I know that this has kind of become a craze, this recreational marijuana. About half the states have some form of it now. But the research has been, for decades, has been negative about the impact that marijuana has on people, and it's even more the case with youth. And you know, one of the things that we're seeing in these states that do have recreational marijuana in some form is it's getting to, you know, people, youth, those who are younger than 21, even though it's not supposed to. They're, you know, using traditional methods of using it. They're vaping it. And, you know, they're doing it all fairly blatantly as well, because of the attitudes that have changed over the last 15 years or so among youth that see it now as far more socially acceptable and far less dangerous than it really is.
So, well, proponents would say, well, they can get alcohol, too. What's the difference now?
Yeah, well, I mean, with that, the harmful effects of alcohol over the long run, and I'm talking about health effects, not just being, you know, temporarily messed up in some way, let's say. You know, the long-term effects of marijuana are that, particularly for youth when they are still developing in many ways. So, you know, night overconsumption certainly of alcohol is no good. doctors will tell you even a little is not great for you. But I think marijuana is much worse, and in particular for youth getting a hold of it.
We've got the these locations that are popping up all around our area that are distributing marijuana, I'm assuming, with a prescription. So how would that differ? And does this new law, do you have to have a prescription to even to partake recreationally?
No, not at all. Although I would argue that the system that we have set up for medical marijuana is almost as if it's marijuana has been legalized recreationally. I mean, basically, you can get it's not technically a prescription; it's a recommendation or something like that. From any doctor who wishes to be part of the program can enroll to do so, can give this out for basically almost any reason. And presto, you got a stash. So there's really not a lot of difference, to tell you the truth. And if it were for me, I'd rather see bills that are trying to put more teeth into making medical marijuana actually medical marijuana, because when you look at the data, there are actually very few maladies that there actually seems to be a difference with marijuana. So to tighten that up, I think that'd be great. But you're right. There's they would be conceptually different programs, but there's really not that much difference between them.
Right?
Isn't it really in the grand scheme of things, the elephant in the room? Isn't it really about money and taxing marijuana and making more revenue on wider sale of marijuana in Louisiana?
Yep. Sadly, that's the case. This bill is a great example of that, because whereas medical marijuana is exempt from state sales tax, this would not be. And the bill has provisions in there about how the as many as 10 suppliers would have to pay a fee every year. They'd have to also pay another administrative fee on top of that, and then the state could tax on what's sold. So, it's as usual. There's a revenue enhancement feature for government in it.
Does it also allow more vendors to sell the marijuana rather than the current dispensaries?
No, actually, it would limit only to the dispensaries. They would have to set up a separate outfit to do it, so they wouldn't do it out of the same place that medical marijuana was being distributed.
Just have another door, like some liquor stores sometimes we used to have?
Like the grocery stores have the liquor store entrance?
Yeah. Yes, could be. The way the bill is written, it leaves that kind of right. It just says they have to be separate. It leaves the regulation of it up to, I think, health and hospitals. But, conceivably, sure, you could have that kind of arrangement.
So even though it would be considered, quote, legal, you wouldn't be able to just go into Circle K and purchase marijuana casually?
Yeah, no. No. I mean, you can go to convenience stores and get all these, gummies and all that stuff that have THC in them. But no, you technically would not have the, I guess, more potent version that would be sold at these new outlets.
Okay, the new outlets. Could I, Aaron McCarty, walk into that back door at this new outlet and buy recreational marijuana? What do I have to prove? Do I have to present an ID proving my age? Is that it?
Yeah, the bill doesn't really go into that kind of stuff, but yeah, you have to be 21 or older, and yeah, that'd be about it. Hoot up after that.
Well, I do like a good brownie, Doc. I got to tell you. Bad idea for Louisiana, though, in your view.
Yeah, it all started with our very free and easy rules regarding medical marijuana, and this just seems to be the next natural step. Hope it doesn't come to that, and her bills have not come close to passing on this and in the past, so hopefully that'll be the same outcome this time.
Okay.
Dr. Sato, just real quick in the last 30 seconds, can people maybe look at Colorado and see the effects of what legalizing marijuana has done on the youth and the work production in that state?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, when I wrote the post, one of my sources was an article about high schools in Colorado and what was happening there, and and how available that marijuana had become in various forms in those places. So, yeah, there are a number of states out there that would serve as object lessons, I think.
Some of my sources tell me the bill's dead on arrival. You would agree?
Yeah, given the past performance of our others, even this stripped down version, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay.
All right. We appreciate your time, and thank you so much for agreeing to jump on with us.
Yeah, sure. Why
thank
not?
You. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jessica McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, how was the weekend?
Not bad.
Watch the Oscars?
I did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I fast-forwarded to the stuff I wanted to see.
I saw where your good friend Sean Penn won, which meant he got up to make a speech.
No show. He was a no-show.
He was a no-show?
No-show. Did not show up. Not sure if he was protesting or if he had something else going on. He was not there.
Okay.
So we didn't have to hear Sean Penn, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay.
We do have real strong local ties to the Oscar, to an Oscar winner. Michael B. Jordan, okay. Who won for his role in Sinners.
Right.
Which Sinners was filmed in Louisiana, in New Orleans, St. Bernard Parish, Lafourche Parish. It's a horror movie dating back to 1930s Clarksville, Mississippi. Jordan's father's from Shreveport. His mother's family's from Hope, Arkansas.
Oh, wow.
So,
did he grow up here, maybe? Or
I don't know that he... No, I think they left here when he was young. I don't... I'd have to look at that. But it was really cool. He had his mother with him. His father was in... It's so weird how these things happen. You're nominated for an Oscar as Best Actor. And... You're sitting with your mother in like the second or third row.
Right.
And then he gives his speech and he goes, my dad's here. Dad, where are you? He's looking for a dad. You can't get tickets together. How crazy is that?
Well, they probably need to save that front row down front.
I know. For the jokes.
They've got to save those for the...
Yeah, for the Conan jokes and stuff. Yeah. Which was...
For all the nominees.
Yeah, I know, but he also picks out people and you know that he wants to make fun of, and they're all right up there in the front.
So Conan was the guest or the host?
Was the host, yeah.
Okay.
And
I like Conan.
It's just too much. It's just too... And all the jokes by the presenters and the stuff. And I've watched some of these movies. Sinners, I have not watched. The big film winner was... What's the name of it called? The Sean Penn movie.
I think that says it all.
Yeah. one battle after another.
Okay.
Right. I paid $20 to rent that movie to watch it.
Are you kidding?
I did.
$20
I thought,
to rent it?
I want to see it. You know, it's on demand and whatever it was. And maybe it was $18.95. I don't know. It was close to $20. And I thought, that's what I'd spend at the movies, you know, if I go get a ticket and get popcorn and all that. So I thought, well, let me...
Yeah, but you're getting the movie experience with popcorn and...
Yeah, I know. I can make my own. But... and I can drink vodka while I'm doing it. Anyway, no, I didn't drink vodka. It was tequila. But the movie was about immigration. And it was... And it was violent and bloody, and I didn't get the point of it.
Was it a left wing?
Yeah, I guess it probably was in the grand scheme of things, but it was just a violent movie.
Okay.
And I didn't understand it. I left. I bailed out. It's one of those movies where I would have left the theater. Now maybe
after paying $20.
Yeah, maybe I need to try it again and see, you know, hey, can I stomach it again? Let me really pay attention.
Oh my
But it
gosh.
Was violent, and they were breaking people out of immigration centers, and I maybe missed something in the plot that I should have seen that I missed. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, one of the stars of the movie, her pregnant belly is out, and she's firing like a machine gun, and it was just very weird. It seemed disjointed. Didn't like it at all, and it's the best picture of the year.
It won?
It won. Best picture.
Sinners?
No. One battle after another.
One battle after another.
Sinners didn't win best picture. It won four Oscars.
Right. Okay. One.
Michael B. Jordan won for best actor.
Yeah.
But you know a movie that I went and found? It's called Weapons. And it was the one of the women in the movie, she's 75. She won for Best Supporting Actress. So I went and watched the movie. It is a horror movie that is so well done. You've seen it, Ruben.
I haven't seen all of it. I've seen clips, but I've been meaning to watch it.
It's well done.
Okay, what's it called?
Weapons.
Weapons.
Imagine a classroom of 18 children, and you're the teacher, and you come in one day, and there's only one child in your class. The 17 remaining children, one night, all at the same time, 2:17 in the morning, get out of bed and flee their homes. They leave their homes. No one knows where they went. No one knows what spurred them all to leave at the same time. Of course, the teacher's under suspicion. It's a very... And I'm not a horror movie gal. I would have never gotten this movie.
Yeah, me either.
But
really.
I'm
not a horror movie gal either.
But horror is making a comeback.
It really is. And it was well done. And it follows each of the stories. Like, it follows the teacher. It follows Amy Madigan, who's the psycho woman. She won the Oscar for the role.
I saw a picture of her from the film. Oh, my gosh.
Creepy.
Whoa.
It follows Josh Brolin, who's one of the dads of one of the kids. It follows the kid who got left in the classroom and his story. It follows a police officer it takes the story and it goes like, okay, Mike. And then it tells Mike's story for 10, 15 minutes. Then it tells, you know, Amy Madigan's story for it.
Now, where did you see this?
Again, I rented it, I think, for $5 or something like that. Okay. I'm not sure. It may be on one of your streaming services, but
what's it called?
Weapons. And I can never remember the name of it, so I have to think of Weapons of Mass Destruction. So I put that in my brain, and that helped me remember it. But in terms of horror movies, well done. Well done. And Amy Madigan, who was nominated for an Oscar 40 years ago and just now won. So she won. She won for Best
Good
Supporting
for
Actress.
I'm looking at the Best Picture list, okay? Mm-hmm. Begonia, never heard of it.
I watched a little bit of it. It's too weird.
F1, yep.
Watched it.
Actually watched it. It was on Apple TV.
Money-making movie for Brad Pitt.
Right.
That's all that was.
Frankenstein, I've heard of it.
I want to see it.
I've heard of it.
Hamnet's a good movie.
Marty Supreme.
Loved that movie.
Really? Because other people, apparently you either love it or hate it.
You either love it or hate it. I thought it was well done.
The Secret Agent.
Haven't seen that one.
Don't know. Sentimental Value.
That's on my list. It's still a $20 one, though. So I'm like, what? And it's done in Norway, so it's got captioning. So I'm not a big fan of captioning. You got to pay attention. I mean, you can't be scrolling on your phone.
Right. Sinners.
Have not seen Sinners, but I'm not hearing great things.
And then Train Dreams.
That's one I want to watch. That's one I want to watch, but I haven't seen it yet.
So there's and then One Battle After Another. So 10. So out of the 10, I've heard of 1, 2, 3,
mm-hmm.
and I've actually seen one.
Yeah, and I made a point this weekend to go watch some of them. So, I had, when we come back, I had an interesting jaunt, this weekend, and I want to share that with you because it was interesting.
Okay,
interesting to another part of the state.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you met your brother.
Yes.
Well, I can't.
Don't give it all away.
No, I'm sorry. So okay, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, I'm sorry. You didn't meet your brother. I didn't meet
you. No, I did. I did. we're starting something where we're going to try to meet like midway somewhere and have a lunch or brunch on Saturday or Sunday. Hopefully once a month, maybe every
That's
other
nice.
Month. We'll see.
Good for you.
He's in Baton Rouge. Of course, right. I'm here. And so we're trying to make it. And we decided we'd pick Alexandria this time. And I don't spend much time in Alexandria at all, nor does he.
Especially since 49, we don't even go through the middle of it anymore.
And the last time we were there, we went on a Sunday. This has been 20 years ago. Longer than that. I didn't even have kids yet. So 30 plus years ago. And we met at, they had a Copeland's that had like a jazz brunch on Sunday. And I told him, I said, find something that's kind of, you know, got a nice brunch or something quaint like that. And he decided we had a couple of choices. And one was the Hotel Bentley, which is downtown.
Yeah. Historic.
Historic. And I thought, that's a great idea. No two restaurants. Because this was just one of those things I thought, oh, man, we both were bummed when we got there. Because their online menu had, you know, here's our online menu, here's what we have to offer. And we were both looking over it going, oh, he was wanting this salmon, maple bacon salmon. And I was looking at this burger thing that had all kind of, I mean, it looked delicious. And I had planned an appetizer I was going to get, you know, I was really excited. And we get there, and on the table, I beat him there, so on the table is a brunch menu. And there's, you know, omelets and stuff like that, and you know, some salads. And I said, where's the other, can I have the other menu? And she said, just brunch. So I'm like, put that online. Put that stuff online.
I hate that.
We had a great visit. It was just so good to see him and catch up. And, you know, he's 5 years older than me, but we were the closest in the family in terms of my little brother and I were close, but he and I were very close. And to this day, he's my travel buddy. We love to do things together. So we had a nice trip. It was good to get downtown Alexandria. I hadn't been there in years.
I haven't either.
The food was really good.
Okay.
Really good. So
you drove your Bentley to the Hotel Bentley.
I did.
I'm looking at your picture on Facebook right now. I just think it's hilarious that the place y'all went is the Bentley room.
Yeah. I thought it was good. You know, the Bentley fit in. Yeah. The valet guys kind of liked it.
Oh, wow.
Coming up, this weather is crazy. Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel going to join us. 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Okay, I watched the new Steve Carell show.
Oh, what is it? I've never heard of it.
Rooster.
Rooster, okay.
I think it's what Netflix maybe or...
Okay.
Gosh, I can't keep up with what's on what anymore.
I know.
There's no longer 3, 6, and 12.
Right, exactly.
And so, oh my gosh. Have you seen it?
No. I hadn't heard of it.
Really?
I hadn't heard of it, no.
It's actually very well done. Jamie Tart from Ted Lasso.
Don't watch Ted Lasso. No.
Okay. That's it. Thanks, folks. Good night. Thanks for coming.
Tip your waiters. Sorry.
You've never watched Ted Lasso?
No. There's something about it that grinds me the wrong way.
How do you know that? You've never watched it?
Just the previews of it, it just seems too kitschy for me.
Oh, you...
Try it? I need to try it?
Yeah.
Okay, and see, and then I don't even want to admit this. Ruben's going to throw stuff at me. I even thought that way about The Office for a little while.
Right, I can see that.
The Office. Well, I'm like, God, this.
I'm the same way.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, I was.
And
Parks and Rec. They were well into their, you know.
Yes.
Into the late seasons before I started watching either of those.
And now I like The Office. I enjoy it. And
my son turned me on to Parks and Rec. Again, it had already been on. But I didn't watch Sopranos until, 10 years after it was finished.
Right, right. I get that.
And
Breaking
Bad, I didn't watch until late.
Yeah, yeah. Breaking Bad, I came late to the party, too. My youngest son got me into Breaking Bad. He was addicted. He loved that show.
Oh, it had stopped production for years by the time I watched all of it.
Yeah. Right. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Same here.
Man.
But you got to watch Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. How many seasons? See, that's my problem. If it's 8 seasons, no, I'm out.
I think there's only like 4.
See, that might be on the cusp.
Just start it. Just
and see what I think.
Yes, and give it a few episodes.
Okay.
Get into it. Get to know the characters.
Don't play poker on the phone while I'm watching it.
Well, yeah. No, I wouldn't, but I say that, and then I start looking up people and then start scrolling. Yeah. You're on Instagram before you know it, and you're
right.
Like, wait, what happened? ADD is a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Rooster, look it up.
Right.
And Steve Carell is playing remember how Burt Reynolds always played the same character in every movie? Because mm-hmm. it worked for him.
Yes.
Well, Steve Carell has got this guy, and it's working.
Ah, okay.
It's kind of the same. It's in his wheelhouse that he does so well.
Right.
Now, the thing I don't like is they're doing one episode at a time.
Oh.
So there's only one episode up.
Yeah.
So
you gotta wait.
You gotta
week.
Wait till next Sunday night or
so
whatever.
Dumb.
I hate that. It's a streaming service.
It's so dumb. Put them all up. Yeah. I want to talk next hour. Find me a spot on your schedule there. For when did behavior in public?
Oh gosh.
When did we let it get so out of hand?
Oh well.
I had an incident this weekend that I'm like, do y'all not see me sitting here? I'm an adult lady, female. Some might call me elderly. Oh, I hate that word.
No, we're not elderly.
We're
yet.
Not elderly. Okay. And you're behaving like you're a 11-year-old boy in public.
Oh.
And nobody at the workplace stops it anymore. They don't say that's not tolerated.
Right.
They just let it go.
It's the entitlement mentality.
It was sad. I was really sad.
I'll
tell you about it later.
About it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, below freezing temperatures tonight.
What?
Below freezing tonight. I had the AC on.
Holy cow.
Yeah, this is crazy. Richard Llewelling with the Weather Channel joining us after the local news. Top of the hour. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KIO.
Richard Llewelling has lost his mind.
I'm looking at the Weather Channel website.
Oh, is he
right
on?
Now.
Sorry. He can hear me?
20 Aaron. Near record low temperature tonight of 28 degrees.
Unreal.
According to weather.com.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Llewelling with the Weather Channel on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Richard, and then we're looking at what, 90 later in the week?
I need an Academy Award for best weather for Shreveport.
you're predicting close to freezing tonight, right?
Oh yeah, it's going to be cold. In fact, we just got the new data in, and we're probably going to shave back our overnight low tonight into the upper 20s, because we'll probably get down to that to very close to breaking the all-time record for this date for Shreveport for overnight lows tonight. The all-time record is 27 in 1892 here in Shreveport. But if you go to the records for Shreveport Airport, the record is 28 in 1978. So we're going to be close to that tomorrow morning. But then we flip the script, and then we are off to the races with summer heat building back in here at the end of the week with temperatures back up close to 90 degrees by Saturday. So,
I have one of those smart thermostats.
70 degree swing in temperatures in just a few days.
I have one of those smart thermostats on my wall with the screen at the house, okay? And I punch it up, and it'll show forecast. And so I'm going... Like last night, turning on the AC, Now turning on the heat, and the screen popped up and said, "The heat? Are you kidding me?"
Well, I'll give you an example of where I'm at here, just outside of Atlanta. It was 80 degrees here yesterday. We're calling for snow this afternoon.
Are we going to get any of that with this freezing weather? None of that's coming here.
No, not that far south. It looks like it's going to be probably a northwest Mississippi into parts of North Alabama and North Georgia as a lobe of cold air will swing by. But y'all just too far south to get anything all the way down into the Ark-La-Tex to get you some snow this time around. So nothing like that for you guys. But it's just going to be a chilly day today. And then we are going to start to see these temperatures. Yeah. Yeah, no pun intended.
Okay.
It's cold.
It's cold. You need the jacket today for sure.
Wait a minute now. Last week was spring break. Our kids are going back to school today. They're going to go back to school and have freezing temperatures when they get up in the morning and go to the buses?
Uh-huh. Yep. They sure are. It's going to be 29 degrees tomorrow morning. In fact,
they were just at the beach last week.
I know, believe it or not. I mean, there's going to be a lot of places going to see record lows tomorrow morning. Monroe, Natchitoches, Longview, all calling for record lows tomorrow morning. And then everybody's going to be calling for record highs by the weekend. You know, we're talking about Longview could break its record by 3 degrees. Which is the old record was set in 1907 of 87. We're calling for 90 in Longview on Saturday. So, crazy weather pattern is just that. It is just purity crazy. But the good news is there's no rain in the forecast here for at least the next 7 days. We're not calling for it.
We had a boomer. We had a big boomer last night. We had some damage reported over Lake of the Pines. Did we have tornado touchdowns? What did that system bring to our area?
So far, I haven't seen any reports of any tornadic damage. Of course, we have seen the reports of wind damage. And, of course, I think we will know more as we get some daylight and we can get, you know, if the Weather Service is going to send out an assessment team or not. Haven't seen anything like that yet. But stay tuned. We'll probably know more here later today and into the day tomorrow if there was anything that was, you know, really tornadic. I didn't really see anything that told me that. I think if it was going to be anything, it would probably be more than likely straight line wind damage.
And we've got, that's what I was just going to, about to ask you, would these winds right now, the wind actually woke me up during the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this has been a crazy wind system. I mean, for the last 3 days, we have just seen intense winds all across the country. There were 90-mile-per-hour wind gusts in Cleveland on Friday, widespread power outages across Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois, with the first lobe of wind that went through. Second lobe of wind came off the Rockies and produced a huge blizzard that basically has just dumped tremendous amount of snow. I-80 in Iowa was shut down earlier this morning. Snows up across Minnesota, Wisconsin, into Michigan. And these snows were those blinding snows. I mean, with 70-mile-per-hour winds and blowing snow, you couldn't see 2 feet in front of your face. It was snowing so hard in some parts of the Great Lakes. So, you know, we're just in this dynamic pattern where everything is trying to transition from winter to spring, and we're getting a whole lot of wind associated with it. But I think this second lobe and this final piece that is now moving into the eastern part of the country now, with a threat of severe weather that stretches from Baltimore and D.C. on down to Charlotte and Raleigh today and on down into parts of Florida, we'll leave the East Coast and we'll finally get a break for much of the country for the rest of the week, and then the heat is on.
Richard, we're looking at record lows tonight, record highs later in the week. What's causing these drastic temperature shifts?
Well, we're right here at the threshold of transitioning into seasons. You know, we're going to be going into spring here at the weekend, and we're going to be looking at it's the battle of the air masses right now. Cold Canadian air, still a lot of snowpack up to our north. a lot of Gulf moisture coming up from the south, and you've got that battle zone that sets up. And, you know, with any piece of energy that, you know, comes across the western U.S. and hits the midsection of the country, it's going to tap that Gulf moisture and the cold air. And usually, you know, what we've seen over the last couple of days, a lot of severe weather, you know, and a lot of different types of weather that we've been dealing with across the country here. And that's exactly what we've been dealing with. But the good news is things are going to quiet down. And I think everybody's going to be looking for a little bit of a break here as we move into the week ahead.
I'm looking at our SWEPCO outage map, and it's dozens of cases right now. It looks like the hard hit area is north of Plain Dealing in Bossier Parish, where they've got a couple of hundred cases. That's going to be tree limbs down into the power lines from the winds, I would assume, correct?
Yeah, there was some pretty strong storms that were right up there along the Arkansas border last night that we were watching. You know, I was watching some of the cameras up around El Dorado last night, watching some of the coverage last night. And, you know, there were some nasty storms right along the Louisiana-Arkansas border, especially in northern Caddo and northern Bossier, that did produce quite a bit of wind, quite a bit of lightning, and, of course, the power outages as a result.
Mm-hmm. We were getting predictions of hail and massive thunderstorms during the day on Sunday. Did those move farther north? What happened with that?
Yeah, we saw, I mean, there was a line of intense storms that stretched from north of Houston all the way up into the Mid-Mississippi River Valley. But a lot of the upper-level dynamics that were supporting those thunderstorms moved further north. So it was more Arkansas, Missouri, and Illinois that really got the worst of the weather. And just, you know, we got tail-end Charlie on the southern flank of the storms that were just basically, you know, they were severe. They were borderline severe, but nothing that we haven't seen in the past in regards to strong to severe storms. I think the southern jet kind of helped us a little bit, helped to push all that energy further north, mm-hmm. and we kind of missed out on it.
Richard, thanks for the update, and we will stay in touch.
Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mikey McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Now, I know it's not Richard Llewellyn's fault that we're having the weather that we're having.
No.
But this is like the third weekend in a row that they've predicted hellfire and brimstone. Now, I'm grateful it didn't happen,
mm-hmm.
but can we maybe temper this a little bit?
And I'm not sure what I was watching last night, but one of the shows I was watching, it wasn't the Oscars, something else, got interrupted because of a severe thunderstorm warning. And it wasn't even for the Shreveport-Bossier Metro, but it looked like a storm that could produce. And I thought, please, y'all are making folks panic.
And it's not just Richard.
No.
It's not just the Weather Channel.
No, it's constant. And I actually got out in it last night a smidge, right as it was arriving in town, and it looked ominous, but it barely rained in my area. It barely rained, and I was just now looking at the SWEPCO power outage map, and it's not even hundreds of folks; it's dozens that are without power. Up north of Plain Dealing is the hardest hit, right near the state line. There's about 190 people in the dark right now, and the crews are working on it, and that's going to be tree limbs down on the power lines, I would assume. But you're right, 3 weekends in a row we were doom and gloom, it's going to be miserable, stay inside.
Saturday my mom says, let's go to lunch, I want to take you to lunch after church Sunday. I said, okay, that sounds lovely. And mm-hmm. then by Saturday afternoon we're like, she's like, well, we're going to have to play it by ear, it's supposed to be really bad. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, well, Sunday, it was beautiful.
Right.
It was just beautiful during the day.
Mm-hmm. Turned ugly. I got a text just now. We did have some pretty significant hail in North Bossier last night.
I just got a text from North Bossier resident as well.
Absolutely. So they did have some hail and some strong winds. And as you can see on the SWEPCO map, the northern part of Bossier Parish did get hit pretty good, you know, with winds and hail and that kind of thing. We need rain, though. We need a lot of heavy dose of rain.
Just nice, slow, steady rain.
Yeah, rain all day. That would be good with me. Yeah, it's great napping weather.
Jeff says, we got nailed yesterday. So much hail at our house. Streets weren't flooded, but close.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Right. Coming up in about 10 minutes, I want to know what has happened to the world. And I'll tell you a story that goes from something that happened to me to something that happened in Houston. We'll try to tie it all together. It's just getting too crazy, and I don't know that we can rein it in.
No, I think that horse is out of the barn.
I think you're right, and it's so sad.
Yeah. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
From spring break, back to the grind.
Helps if I turn on my mic. Schools are back in session then.
Yep.
Okay.
Buses running, so get, you know, they were out. Yeah. And you know, that brings up an interesting point. Somebody texted me and said, why are the school lights on last week during spring break? Are we still going to get a ticket in the mail?
Right.
And
ooh, that's interesting, because if they're flashing, that does that mean those cameras are active?
They auto ticket you.
Right.
I'm sure you can win and go to court and go, school wasn't in session, the light shouldn't have been on. But I thought we had fixed all the glitches in those school systems.
Well, maybe they did. Maybe something
happened and they forgot to put the dates for spring break in it. I don't know. Anyway, it's folks were frustrated, but I see pictures of all my friends who went to the beach last week. They're playing in the water. They're on the sand. They're in their bathing suits.
Yes.
And it's going to be 28 degrees tonight. What the holy schnizzle? I don't understand it. I don't get it. Anyway.
I just want a nice, slow, steady rain. Nothing, yeah. No thunderstorms. Oh, by the way, tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day.
And you can't talk like that tomorrow.
So you say I can't do an Irish accent tomorrow, so I have to do it today?
Get it all done today.
Okay, so let me get it out today. What's wrong with the world today?
Oh, boy. What is wrong with the world?
I have some ideas, but... I
had something happen to me specifically. Something happened in Houston that is just so troubling. And it's happening everywhere. It happens here.
It does happen here. We've seen this video right downtown Shreveport.
Yeah, and it's just sad how, anyway, we'll talk about it when we come back. Where's my blood pressure medicine? I'm going to need it.
Jameson? Yeah, hold
on. That'll work. That'll work.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Yeah, I don't talk that way.
I know.
And I don't want to be subjected to it.
And I probably should have said something and said, hey, I'm going to leave if this is not under control. But then you're the bad guy. Then you become the bad guy and the attacks are on you then.
Yeah, you're the jerk.
And I didn't want it getting turned on me. Here's the scene. I'm not going to tell you where I was. I'll just tell you I was at a local casino. I don't go very often. Every now and then I go and I play. If I'm not playing poker, I'll play blackjack. So I'm playing blackjack and I'm having a good time and I bring what money I'm prepared to throw in the river. Mm-hmm. If I can throw this money in the river, I can go have fun. It's my golf. All right. So I bring my few hundred bucks and I go and I sit down at a blackjack table and I start playing. And I try to go at times when there are not the leftover drunks. You know, I try to pick a time like in the morning. you know, when the drunks have all cleared out, they've gone to breakfast and they've gone back to their rooms or whatever. And but we still had some stragglers. It's 10:30 in the morning, something like that.
If you're drunk at 10:30 in the morning,
and you've been up all night. Okay, you've been gambling all night.
Wow.
And the language at the table was, I thought, the only thing I could think about was my mother. And I thought, if my mother was sitting at this table, she would be mortified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The F-bombs that were flying, the banging on the table, the disruption, the slowing the game down, the talking trash to the dealer, just treating the dealer like she was a piece of dirt.
Did this person think?
Yeah.
Sorry, my mic was broken. Did they think they were Joe Pesci in Casino?
It was embarrassing. And the dealer finally rolled with it and was kind of, you know, I mean, she kind of started rolling with it and kind of took on kind of their behavior in a small way. I mean, she wasn't cursing or anything. But then
the dealer started participating in it.
She started talking trash back to them. You know, you're drunk. You shouldn't even be here. You need to get up and get your money and get on out of here. And and then when other people would sit down at the table and they were new, and the dealer would say, hey, it's a rough table. I'm just telling you, it's a rough table. Then they would start taking on the behavior of those bad three people. They would start the cursing and the banging on the table and, can you give me some cards? Can you? And I'm sitting there being quiet, trying to just play blackjack. And then I look at what happened in Houston. I don't know if you've seen this or not yet. The Houston Rodeo, which is legendary. Okay, you know the Angola Rodeo is legendary. The Houston Rodeo is that times 100. People pay big money for those tickets.
And it takes place during the fair.
Yes, exactly.
Houston. Mm-hmm. A huge state fair down there.
They had to stop the rodeo and stop the event completely and shut it down because of fights and bad behavior.
Oh, it was a riot.
It was a riot.
Hundreds of people outside
start fighting at each other.
Yes.
Pulling hair, kicking, punching, whatever they had to. And it wasn't just one fight. It was over and over in different locations all throughout. They shut down the freaking rodeo. Think of the people that have trained to be at that rodeo. That's the big deal. That's their big event.
The Houston Rodeo.
And you paid for a ticket to go see the rodeo.
Yeah.
And now, sorry, you got a piece of it, but you're not getting the whole thing. When did this behavior change? When did this become okay? I'm sitting at this table. I'm an older woman. My children wouldn't use that language in front of me.
No.
Never in a million years. If they did, I'd still pull out some soap.
Right.
You know, you need some soap in your mouth, young man. You don't talk like that in front of me or in front of somebody that's your senior. They don't care anymore. Well, Nobody cares.
You don't behave like that in public in general, regardless of who's around.
And why do businesses allow it?
Yeah.
Why do they tolerate it? Knowing it's probably offending a couple of people in there. And I should have left. I know. I should have got up and said something to somebody and said, look, I'm going to leave. If y'all can't rein this in.
You were more patient than I would have been.
But I wanted to be there. I was having fun playing the card game. I love that. But I thought, why is this now okay?
It's not. And by getting up, you could have made a statement just simply by getting up going, here, I'm cashing out now. I'm not putting up with this.
I should have. I'll do that.
I have
next
more
time.
Self-respect than this.
Yeah. It's so common now. It's so common, and I don't go to the casinos in the evening because of that. I don't go. I would like to be able to go, but I don't, simply because at the tables, things are out of control. Out of control at sometimes, and it's just not pleasant.
And almost to a smaller level, it's the same way just trying to go to watch a movie or trying to go to watch a concert.
Yes, I remember you telling me about that.
We can't even watch a live show. People behind me won't shut the hell up.
Mm-hmm.
People in front of you in the movies are on their phones or sitting there talking like they're in their living room.
When did we lose respect for other people?
And that's it.
We have no respect for other people. One of the gentlemen.
I paid my money. I'm going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I paid my money, too.
Right. Why are you ruining my good time? Why?
Yes.
And it's just, and alcohol played a role in what happened to me, I'm sure. But I think the businesses need to step up and say, look.
Oh, no doubt.
This is not acceptable behavior.
Right.
And we're not going to tolerate it. And we're running decent folks off because we're tolerating it. And I'll be more careful. Next time I will leave. I will say, give me my money back. You know,
right.
I'm going to get in my Bentley. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
And as you should.
Yeah. I just didn't know. I just didn't want anybody turning on me. And right. I shouldn't be chicken.
Because if you say something, you're the jerk.
Oh, yeah. If I call the pit boss over and go, look, this is out of hand. This has gotten out of hand.
You're the jerk.
Then I'm the butthead, and they're going to do things to me. And I didn't want that. I knew I would leave then. But anyway, it we've lost respect for other people.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get it back. It's too late, you think?
It's scary. Mm. I don't know.
Yeah. Really sad.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, we got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Let me read it verbatim.
Yeah, Aiton.
And this is precisely why I can't listen to you in the morning. None of you have any idea what you're talking about regarding the Houston Rodeo. Do your homework and be a journalist. Well, first of all, I'm not a journalist. Don't claim to be. They didn't shut down the rodeo. They shut down the midway of the carnival because of the fights. The rodeo itself continued inside the NRG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, according to the Houston Chronicle,
pretty reputable newspaper.
The Houston Chronicle. Mm-hmm. The headline, Fights, Confusion, Shutdown, Houston Rodeo Early Saturday Night, officials say. The story says the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo closed earlier than planned Saturday night after guests started to flee from fights in the carnival area. The scene caused confusion and prompted the rodeo to shut down early, quote, out of an abundance of caution, Rodeo Houston said in a statement to the Chronicle.
Hmm, okay.
So
maybe we were right.
I'm believing the Houston Chronicle before I'm believing this post.
Yeah. For me, it is just, you know, folks that went to the rodeo saying it ended up being scary. It ended up being dangerous. People were running, and then more fights kept happening. For me, it is about, think of all the people involved in the rodeo, the workers, the rodeo participants. They train for this. They train for this all year. The Houston Rodeo is the big deal. It's a big deal. And because of nonsense, not happening inside the rodeo gates, we understand that. We didn't say that. The rodeo was shut down early Saturday. It was. Go do your research, sir.
There were hundreds of people along the midway. Several fights. Now, first of all, if I'm out in public and this begins to happen, I'm not going to pull out my phone and stand in the middle of it. And laughing, and it was so bizarre because in the middle of the fights, then they start laughing and dancing.
Right.
These people are laughing and dancing. Mm. I'd be afraid of gunfire. I'm not standing in the middle of it.
Yeah. And I posed the question on Facebook, the Keel Facebook page, if you want to chime in, because I'm a little confused about what you should do. What can you do about bad behavior in a public place? Ignore it or get involved? Say something. Should you do?
Unfortunately, you can't get involved.
You can't engage.
You just leave. You take your money and you leave.
You go elsewhere. But I've saved up. I bought a ticket to the Houston Rodeo.
Right.
I brought my three children. They love the rodeo. They want to see the barrel races. They want to see the bull riding. They want to see it all.
And usually the bull riding is last.
Oh, yeah. You missed it.
So that didn't happen. That may not have happened.
Oh, it's just so. And if you ignore it and you do nothing about it, who wins? It's just sad. Sad.
So according to the Houston Chronicle, it was shut down early. Mm-hmm. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. On 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty. We're going to break down the weather later this hour. I did want to ask you because I saw where your buddy Sean Penn won an Oscar. Is this his first?
No. He's the winningest male now. I think it's his third or fourth.
Really?
Yeah, I think they said Sean Penn is now the winningest male for Oscars, I believe. But he was not there last night.
So he didn't, nobody was subjected to his left-wing speeches at the...
Nope. Didn't have to get up. They just, whoever presented it said, I accept it for his, on his behalf, thank you, and walked off. So we didn't have to listen to him.
Oh, okay.
It's his third win. He's won more than any other male. And this was for supporting role in One Battle After Another. Which I've seen the movie. I say I've seen the movie. I stopped watching the movie because it was very bizarre to me. It was disjointed. It was kind of political in nature in that they were freeing people from immigration centers using force, guns. It was violent. I know I probably missed the moral of the story because I just couldn't focus because of all the violence.
Right.
The character development was awful. I didn't really know who Sean Penn was. I didn't know who the... And it was filled, Benicio del Toro, it was filled with an all-star cast.
Okay.
Filled with great, great folks. And I thought, this ought to be decent. I don't like violent movies. I typically don't watch them. But I thought, let me try it. And I rented it. I spent $20 renting it this weekend. I thought, let me look at it.
That blows my mind.
It was... Just didn't get it. It's Best Picture.
And you rented it for $20.
$20.
And you didn't even finish it.
I didn't finish it. I think I have 48 hours or 72 hours to finish it. So I may go back and watch it again to try to sit there and glue. But I don't like all the violence just for violence sake.
Right.
And I thought it was going to take a political turn that I wasn't going to like. And so I kind of tuned it out partially and... It just wasn't. And I watched another, Sinners was the movie that Michael B. Jordan won Best Actor for. And he has local ties. I haven't seen Sinners yet, but it's a horror movie. And so I'm kind of shied away from it. But Michael B. Jordan, his dad's from Shreveport. His father's family's from Shreveport. I don't think too many of them are still here. And he said his mom is from Hope, Arkansas. So he's got lots of connections. I'm not sure how long he was here, if he was here, if they moved away before he was arrived on the scene of the earth. But he was very eloquent, and I really like seeing him. But it's really cool. And the film, Sinners, was filmed all across Louisiana, mostly down in the New Orleans area, but several locations. And so it's got a lot of Louisiana connections. Haven't seen it yet. Because it's a horror movie, I'm not sure that I will, because I just don't like the violence. But I watched a horror movie this weekend. What's her name? Amy Madigan?
Yeah.
She is the creepy-looking elderly...
I saw a picture of her from that film.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have never even recognized her.
Yeah, she won Best Supporting Actress Oscar for that role. And imagine... And let me just give you a little bit about this film, because I highly recommend it, and I'm not a horror gal. Imagine you're a school teacher and you go in and it's fourth grade, fifth grade class. I forget what age these kids were. And you have 18 kids in your class. I know, dream class for a lot of folks, a lot of teachers.
Yeah, they're going, only 18?
Only 18, yeah. And only one kid is there. The other 17 are gone. It turns out the other 17, at 2:17 in the morning, that very morning, they all got up from their beds, walked out of their houses, and ran away. Went somewhere. Nobody knew where they went. Nobody knew what happened to them, why they got up and suddenly at the same time walked away. And the movie goes story by story, like from the police officer who's investigating it to the teacher, to the older woman, Amy Madigan's character, to, you know, different people that were involved in the storyline get a segment in the movie. It was so well done. I'm not going to tell you why the children left or anything about that, but it is kind of graphic. There are some violent scenes in it. I'm going to tell you that. It is one of those that, and this is what I love about horror, when you think you're going to get one of those,
right,
you don't. They surprise you with those. When you think you're done with the, you get one, you know, which I think is brilliant. I think I'm waiting for it. I'm looking. I look through my hands, you know, with the fingers barely open, and I'm waiting. And you don't get it when you expect it. You get it when you least expect it, which is really, for me, brilliant. Good movie. Really highly recommend it. I'm not a horror gal.
Jump startle like that it, to me, was. That was effective, and they didn't overuse it. Was in Jaws.
Jaws was good. Yeah.
Dream there. The when I think Richard Dreyfuss was down exploring that boat that had the hole in the hull.
Yeah.
And then that head pops out
right,
real quick,
right.
And everybody in the whole theater.
Ah! I know. It was unreal. And I have tried to watch some of the movies. I watched the documentary that won Best. The Oscar, and it's called All the Empty Rooms. Highly recommend this documentary. It is a newsman, Hartman, Steve Hartman, or maybe his son. I forget which one's the name. Anyway, he goes to the families of children who've been killed in school shootings, and he wants to focus on those kids who have died. So he goes to these families, three or four, maybe five families, where they have kept the room exactly like their child left it.
Oh, gosh.
And you go through and they photograph the rooms, showing all the little trinkets that these kids had. And some of them were as young as age 9. There was one, I think, who was a 16-year-old. But talk about chilling. And he made a point. He said, when we have these school shootings, we talk too much about the shooters.
Right, right.
We don't talk about the children who are killed. And we need to really focus on that. And he blamed the media on that. He said, we focus too much on what went wrong in those shooters' lives, mm-hmm. and we don't focus on the kids. So really recommend that one. That one's called All the Empty Rooms. Oh. Well worth watching. Yeah, and you're going to have a tear at the end of it. No doubt.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was gripping. Really gripping.
Yeah.
Well done, though.
Well, I didn't turn it on. I just... I hate that we can't enjoy those anymore.
Right. And they overdid the stupid gags and the, you know, all the jokes from the presenters. Stop it. Just give out the awards.
Right.
Just play some of the great songs that are nominated and give out the awards. I don't need to. They did a stupid bit where they said, next year the Oscars are going to be on YouTube, and here's how it's going to look. And you're going to have the Oscar ceremony, and then there's going to be interrupted by a commercial.
Oh,
a YouTube commercial.
Right.
You know, and I'm thinking, I didn't need to see that.
Yeah,
I really
right.
didn't. Just show me the Oscars.
Yes.
Just get on with it. And so next year it'll be different viewing. You'll watch it on YouTube instead of on the ABC.
On the commercial, did it have a little skip button come up?
It didn't pop up. It didn't pop up. And these commercials were done for this broadcast because it was, what's the lady who was in Glee and then Jane Lynch. She did special commercials just for this, for some stupid products. That don't exist,
right.
And I thought
like Saturday Night Live type commercials.
Yes, yeah. She did those
right.
just
okay.
for this broadcast, and it was just dumb. There was a lot of dumb things in the whole Oscar ceremony. I liked watching the music. I liked watching the big winners, and I missed it. I didn't see any big political speeches.
Oh, okay.
Benicio del Toro had a button on and a sign on his suit, free, and he said free Palestine at one point. That was all. That was all I heard. So, anyway.
Record lows for tonight, record highs later in the week.
What?
Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel joins us in about 20 minutes. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on that free Kiel app.
Big Stories of the Day with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, I got to ask, because you watch F1.
I do. That was a good race.
Was it, though?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I loved it. I love when new kids win.
I'm not wild about this appearing to be a new Mercedes era.
Oh, I'm fine with that.
But the new regs... It's not racing. You juice your battery and then you pass people because it's battery powered.
Yeah, it's half battery powered, half gas powered.
Which has
right?
been, they've been hybrid cars for
sure.
years.
Mm-hmm.
They've changed the drag reduction
system. You're just mad because your boy's not winning.
No, it's just odd.
I know. They can't get his car right is the problem. And I don't know that he would be whining as much if his car was right. They say he would still be whining. I don't know. I'm talking about Verstappen.
Right.
But he's struggling.
And so's McLaren.
There are teams that are struggling. Mercedes has got it dialed in. I think Ferrari's got it close to
being
dialed in.
And they were saying during the offseason, Mercedes is going to be, they've got the new regs figured out.
I'm watching the Cadillac teams, too. I'm curious how they're going to do. That's interesting to watch that.
They didn't look great.
No.
Valtteri Bottas and Checo are the drivers for the new Cadillac team, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
Love them. But I don't know. And then the F1 TV app, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, okay.
I know.
But the F1 TV app has changed, and now it's through Apple TV.
Right, right.
And they don't have the same features. I'm just not happy.
I'm not happy about how I'm having to watch it now. I don't like that either. It's not. Usually, I can record it and then I can watch it and fast forward, and you know, I can put it on low speed where it's a little bit faster than normal. You can't do that on Apple TV. It's either you pass a whole bunch of it or you. Anyway, it's difficult, but I like the race. I like seeing the race in China, and I like the shake-up.
It was cool to see, like, when you see the top 10.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Rookies?
Yes.
And new. I did like that.
New
I'm
faces.
I'm not opposed to that.
And young people.
And I'm not enjoying it just because Red Bull doesn't win.
Right.
That's not the case. I'm not wild about these new regulations.
Yeah, we'll see if the dust settles.
Right.
But you know, your guy and his team, Red Bull's team,
they're struggling.
They got to figure it out.
Yeah.
They got to figure it out. They can't fight it now. I mean, you're in the season now. You got to figure it out.
And even other Red Bull driver.
Hadjar. Yeah.
When he hit his battery boost, started spinning the rear end. It was just this crazy.
Absolutely.
It's just crazy.
Absolutely.
Crazy, kind of like this weather.
Mm-hmm.
We're projecting record lows tonight. Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel going to join us in about 10 minutes. 1017 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.
Back with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
One phenomenon that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
How somebody that hates us so much, people that hate us so much, but keep listening.
I know.
All the time.
And that was a phenomenon, if you remember, obviously you remember Rush Limbaugh.
Well, yeah.
But he had so many listeners that hated him, but they had to know what's the other side saying. What's he saying? What's he talking about?
Because
the world will be talking about it.
I can't turn on CNN or MSNBC or MS Now or whatever they're calling themselves this week. I can't turn it on.
I'm going to read you something. I think I have it on my phone still. Did I tell you about George Stephanopoulos?
Stephanopoulos? I don't guess.
I heard him on his show, that Sunday morning show he hosts, a couple of weeks ago, where one of his guests said, the midterm elections, we have, quote, a good chance to take Texas blue.
We have a chance.
Yeah, one of his guests. I'm okay with his guests saying that.
Okay.
We have a good chance of taking...
Oh, the guest said that.
The guest said that.
Okay, okay.
Good chance to take Texas blue.
Mm-hmm.
To which Stephanopoulos replied, wow, we'll take it. You're the host. You're the moderator of the show. You're on ABC. Wow, we'll take it.
Okay, now, let me say... Is he a journalist or is he a commentator?
No, he's not a journalist. He's a political operative.
Okay.
I mean, we know he was in the Clinton camp for years. He's a political operative. But if you're trying to present a balanced broadcast, which and I like to watch those Sunday morning shows, the Deface the Nation and the other ones this week.
Right.
I like to watch them just to see what are they saying.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go to these kind of extremes, and I think, and we're supposed to believe they're fair?
Right.
We're supposed to really believe that? Slap me, wake me up.
Well, I don't think anybody believes any of the networks are fair.
I know. But there are people who listen to us, Mikey Poo, because they want to see, what are those idiots saying? What are those idiots saying today that I'm going to have to argue about later?
Well, I'm glad I don't let you down.
Yeah.
Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Richard Llewellyn. Richard Llewellyn has lost his mind.
I'm looking at the Weather Channel website right now.
Oh, is he on? Sorry, he can hear me.
Aaron. Near record low temperature tonight of 28 degrees.
Unreal.
According to weather.com.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Llewellyn with the Weather Channel on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Richard, and then we're looking at what, 90 later in the week.
I need an Academy Award for best weather for Shreveport.
you're predicting close to freezing tonight, right?
Oh yeah, it's going to be cold. In fact, we just got the new data in, and we're probably going to shave back our overnight low tonight into the upper 20s, because we'll probably get down to that to very close to breaking the all-time record for this date for Shreveport for overnight lows tonight. The all-time record is 27 in 1892 here in Shreveport. But if you go to the records for Shreveport Airport, the record is 28 in 1978. So we're going to be close to that tomorrow morning. Then we flip the script. And then we are off to the races with summer heat building back in here at the end of the week with temperatures back up close to 90 by Saturday. So,
I have one of those smart thermostats.
Yeah, 70-degree swing in temperatures in just a few days.
I have one of those smart thermostats on my wall with a screen at the house, okay? And I punch it up, and it'll show forecast. And so I'm going... Like last night, turning on the AC, now turning on the heat, and the screen popped up and said, "The heat? Are you kidding me?"
Well, I'll give you an example of where I'm at here, just outside of Atlanta. It was 80 degrees here yesterday. We're calling for snow this afternoon.
Are we going to get any of that with this freezing weather? None of that's coming here.
No, not that far south. It looks like it's going to be probably northwest Mississippi into parts of North Alabama and North Georgia as a lobe of cold air will swing by. But y'all just too far south to get anything all the way down into the Arklatex to get you some snow this time around. So nothing like that for you guys. But it's just going to be a chilly day today. And then we are going to start to see these tempers. Yeah. Yeah, no pun intended.
Okay.
It's cold.
It's cold. You need the jacket today for sure.
Wait a minute now. Last week was spring break. Our kids are going back to school today. They're going to go back to school and have freezing temperatures when they get up in the morning and go to the buses?
Yep, they sure are. It's going to be 29 degrees tomorrow morning. In fact,
they were just at the beach last week.
I know, believe it or not. I mean, there's going to be a lot of places going to see record lows tomorrow morning. Monroe, Natchitoches, Longview, all calling for record lows tomorrow morning. And then everybody's going to be calling for record highs by the weekend. You know, we're talking about Longview could break its record by 3 degrees. Which is the record, the old record was set in 1907 of 87. We're calling for 90 in Longview on Saturday. So, crazy weather pattern is just that. It is just purity crazy. But the good news is there's no rain in the forecast here for at least the next 7 days. We're not calling for it.
We had a boomer. We had a big boomer last night. We had some damage reported over Lake of the Pines. Did we have tornado touchdowns? What did that system bring to our area?
So far, I haven't seen any reports of any tornadic damage. Of course, we have seen the reports of wind damage. And, of course, I think we will know more as we get some daylight and we can get, you know, if the Weather Service is going to send out an assessment team or not. Haven't seen anything like that yet. But stay tuned. We'll probably know more here later today and into the day tomorrow if there was anything that was, you know, really tornadic. I didn't really see anything that told me that. I think if it was going to be anything, it would probably be more than likely straight line wind damage.
And we've got, that's what I was just going to about to ask you, would these winds right now, the wind actually woke me up during the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this has been a crazy wind system. I mean, for the last 3 days, we have just seen intense winds all across the country. There were 90-mile-per-hour wind gusts in Cleveland on Friday. Widespread power outages across Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois. The first lobe of wind that went through. Second lobe of wind came off the Rockies and produced a huge blizzard that basically has just dumped tremendous amount of snow. I-80 in Iowa was shut down earlier this morning. Snows up across Minnesota, Wisconsin, into Michigan. And these snows were those blinding snows. I mean, with 70-mile-per-hour winds and blowing snow, you couldn't see 2 feet in front of your face. It was snowing so hard in some parts of the Great Lakes. So, you know, we're just in this dynamic pattern where everything is trying to transition from winter to spring, and we're getting a whole lot of wind associated with it. But I think this second lobe and this final piece that is now moving into the eastern part of the country now, with a threat of severe weather that stretches from Baltimore and D.C. on down to Charlotte and Raleigh today and on down into parts of Florida, leave the East Coast, and we'll finally get a break for much of the country for the rest of the week, and then the heat is on.
Richard, we're looking at record lows tonight, record highs later in the week. What's causing these drastic temperature shifts?
Well, we're right now, we're right here at the threshold of transitioning into seasons. You know, we're going to be going into spring here at the weekend. And, we're going to be looking at, it's the battle of the air masses right now. Cold Canadian air, still a lot of snowpack up to our north, a lot of Gulf moisture coming up from the south. And you've got that battle zone that sets up. And, you know, in any piece of energy that, you know, comes across the western U.S. and hits the midsection of the country, it's going to tap that Gulf moisture and the cold air. And usually, what we've seen over the last couple of days, a lot of severe weather, you know, and a lot of different types of weather that we've been dealing with across the country here. And that's exactly what we've been dealing with. But the good news is things are going to quiet down. And I think everybody's going to be looking for a little bit of a break here as we move into the week ahead.
I'm looking at our SWEPCO outage map, and it's dozens of cases right now. It looks like the hard hit area is north of Plain Dealing in Bossier Parish, where they've got a couple of hundred cases. That's going to be tree limbs down into the power lines from the winds, I would assume, correct?
Yeah, there was some pretty strong storms that were right up there along the Arkansas border last night that we were watching. You know, I was watching some of the cameras up around El Dorado last night. Watching some of the coverage last night, and you know, there were some nasty storms right along the Louisiana-Arkansas border, especially in northern Caddo and northern Bossier, that did produce quite a bit of wind, quite a bit of lightning, and of course the power outages as a result.
Mm-hmm. We were getting predictions of hail and massive thunderstorms during the day on Sunday. Did those move farther north? What happened with that?
Yeah, we saw, I mean, there was a line of intense storms that stretched from north of Houston all the way to the mid-Mississippi River Valley. But a lot of the upper-level dynamics that were supporting those thunderstorms moved further north. So it was more Arkansas, Missouri, and Illinois that really got the worst of the weather. And just, you know, we got tail end Charlie on the southern flank of the storms that were just basically, you know, they were severe. They were borderline severe, but nothing that we haven't seen in the past in regards to strong to severe storms. I think the southern jet kind of helped us a little bit, helped to push all that energy further north, mm-hmm. and we kind of missed out on it.
Richard, thanks for the update, and we will stay in touch.
Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Mikey McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You kind of hit the road this weekend, a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. To Alexandria. My brother came up from Baton Rouge, and I came down from Shreveport to meet in Alexandria, mm-hmm. to kind of have a lunch, brunch together. We decided, I kind of told him, I said, you pick a nice spot. I don't care if it's expensive, whatever, it doesn't matter. So he picked the Bentley room at the Bentley Hotel, which is in downtown Alexandria. I had never been in there.
I hadn't either.
I thought, this will be cool.
And it's an historic hotel.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
Was the building cool?
It was cool. It really was. It was a beautiful building, and it had real comfy furniture. You know, the chairs were nice, cushy chairs, and it wasn't restaurant type chairs. It was really well done. And I was a little disappointed. So this is kind of a note to restaurants, because he and I had been scoping out, you know, what we wanted to eat for lunch. And, you know, we'd been looking at their online menu, and he saw this great salmon dish, and I saw this great burger with some, I think it was an artichoke appetizer or whatever they had. And I thought, this will be great. We'll share the artichoke appetizer. I'll get this burger I want. Then they had beignets. For dessert, I thought, I'll try the beignets and let's see how I like them. We get there, and on the table, I get there first, and I ordered a cocktail. And I'm looking at the menu, and it's a brunch menu. It has lots of omelets and, you know, breakfast stuff and some salads. And it did have a burger on there. And I thought, but not the burger I was jonesing for.
Right, right.
Not his fish that he was jonesing.
The one that you found online.
Yeah.
Right.
And I thought, why don't they say only brunch on, you know, certain times? And because I asked her, I said, can we get order off the regular menu? She goes, no, just brunch today till 2. And I went, oh, wow. I was really disappointed about that. But my brother got there, and we just kibitzed about, you know, what's going on with him, what's going on with me. We talk a little bit about, you know, vacations, because he's my vacation buddy, and we have a vacation coming up in June, a pretty extensive vacation that I'm looking forward to, and trying to plan something in the fall too. So it was just so pleasant. And you know, you can get to Alec now in an hour and a half. The speed limit is like 75 miles an hour
going down
on the freeway.
Right.
Yeah. Now I did have Sheriff Jason Richardson's phone number on speed dial in my phone, just in case I got pulled over.
Because 75 miles per hour is not the maximum speed limit. It's the minimum.
Oh, yeah. If
I can do 75, I can do 80.
And everybody was going 85.
Yeah.
Everybody was going 85, even the truckers. And so you just keep up with the pace, you know, keep the pace up. And I did see fuel, by the way, in Alec for 306. So I'm not sure why we're 316 and they have a couple places at 306. Now, those were right on the freeway. You know, those are the Loves and those kinds of places. There's one in the Mansfield area selling it for $306 as well. So if you're in South Caddo or in DeSoto Parish, the Love's down there is $306 right now. That's what it was over the weekend. So I don't know. But I had a great visit. We're going to plan, I think we're going to do Prejean's in Opelousas next. It's a little bit longer for me, but that's all right. Just to go out and see different places around the state that we can meet up at and have a, and he took a scenic drive home. He went through New Roads, the False River area to go back to Baton Rouge. He said he was going to take a kind of a scenic drive.
He took one back down?
He took Highway 1, I think, back home.
I like taking one, especially on the bike.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Yes. Highway 1 on the bike is fun.
I bet it's beautiful.
Nice. With the azaleas. I don't like riding on the interstate on the bike.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. So bland. You're absolutely right. And so he got to see a lot of flowers and nice scenery on the drive home. So hopefully we'll do it again. You can see I put a couple of the pictures up on my Facebook page, me and my bro. He's 5 years older than me. He looks younger.
And
he has way more hair than I do. I showed him that. I said, who would have thought I have 5 brothers and I'm the baldest one in the family? All my brothers have full heads of hair.
And this is one of the only times you'll ever see Aaron in pink.
I am. I'm wearing a nice little pink shirt. Yes.
It's so lovely.
It was kind of a wonderful day. So we had fun. We'll do it again. Hopefully we'll do it again next month.
101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCurry.